The following program is a production of KHNS. Its content does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the board of directors and staff of Lynn Canal Broadcasting Incorporated, the licensee. You're listening to KHNS, and today we are debuting a new public affairs show from the KHNS news team. I'm News Director Emily Files. We hope to use this show to go deeper into community issues and events. The program will usually take place about every other Thursday at 10 a.m. and is open to callers who have questions or something to add to the discussion. Right now, we're still working on a name for the show. If you have ideas, please help us out. Our main conversation today is focused on winter tourism in Haines. We have some great guests in the studio to delve into it. But before that discussion, let's take a look at recent and upcoming news in the Upper Lynn Canal. The Haynesboro Assembly meets tonight, and there is a full agenda. The main topics revolve around heliskiing and harbors. Three people have levied challenges against the Heliski Map Committee. The committee has met in recent weeks to review proposed changes to the borough's commercial ski tour areas map. One of those challenges is from a borough assembly member, Tom Morfitt. He wants to do away with the Heliski Map Committee in code. That would leave future reviews of the map entirely to the assembly. And then there are two citizen appeals that allege conflicts of interest around the Heliski Map Committee. Those are from Dana Hallett and Eric Hawley. Here's Hallett.
When you have a committee that is heavily stacked in one direction or the other, you don't get a complete expression of what the will of the people is or should be.
People following the Haines Small Boat Harbor expansion might be interested to know that there are a couple items on the assembly agenda about that project. One is a request that the assembly reconsider a portion of the project that they removed from the Phase 1 construction contract. It's called Add Alternate C, and it includes additional deepening of the harbor and 33 more feet on the wave barrier extension. Harbor Master Sean Bell spoke at an assembly meeting recently saying that Add Alt C would make the harbor safer.
You've got distances between the moored floats, the work float, and then the launch ramp. As we add those additional 33 feet, the distance between the moored between all those three facilities increases to a greater comfort zone as far as maneuverability, and I believe to be safer all the way around.
Those are just a few of the items coming up at the Haines Assembly meeting tonight at 6:30. The Skagway Assembly also meets this week. The Senior Center and Housing Project looks like it's set to go forward. Voters narrowly approved a bond for that project in the recent election. Now the Assembly will review a request for engineering proposals. Mayor Mark Schaefer and Assemblymember Steve Burnham Jr. plan to give an update on a recent meeting with the Alaska Department of Conservation. They talked about the decades-old lead contamination in the ore basin. At that meeting, a contractor hired by White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad gave a presentation. The contractor reviewed all the research that's been done on the contaminated area and concluded that another study needs to happen. But Assemblyman Steve Burnham Jr. isn't so sure.
We have done enough testing on the waterfront. I think we've gotten the result showing us that there is a risk to leaving the contamination there. If entities on the waterfront want to do further testing, then I hope that they can shorten their timeline to get the test done in early 2017.
Skagway's Borough Assembly meeting is Thursday at 7 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. And that's it for our news summary. Now let's get started with our main conversation today. You're listening to KHNS's new public affairs show. We're talking about winter tourism in Haines. And we're lucky enough to have some local experts with us today. Borough Tourism Director Leslie Ross planned to be here in person, but she is stuck in Juneau because of the weather. So she's going to join us by phone a little later this hour. But with me in the studio now is Chamber of Commerce President Kyle Gray and Haines Ski and Hike Club board member Dan Egolf, who also owns a couple businesses. Thank you both for taking the time to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
And first, we're going to go to Tom Winter, who is on the phone. Tom is the North America spokesman for the Freeride World Tour. Tom, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, great. We can hear you loud and clear. So the Freeride World Tour is one of the biggest things to happen to Haines winter tourism, if not the biggest, in the last few years. The International Big Mountain Ski and Snowboard Competition first came to Haines in 2015, and they came back this March of 2016. Tom, is the Freeride coming back in 2017?
Yeah, exactly. We're slated for March 18th as the potential first day of competition in 2017. And we have, obviously, given the weather in Alaska, an extended 10-day weather window for that event. Last year, we were able to pull off the events within the weather window. The year before, we had to stick around a little longer, but that's okay. Haines is a great place, so we're happy to be there.
Great. So is there anything new or different this time around?
No, I think you can expect really things to unfold the same way that they have in the past. We've now had two events in Haines underneath our belt, so we're fairly comfortable with the environment and where we're going to work. The only difference I could foresee would be a change in the venue where the event has been held. That, of course, will be a decision that involves local guides, our snow safety team, as well as our events operations crew as we get closer to the date. And obviously that's driven by snow and safety considerations, particularly any avalanche risk.
Mm-hmm. So I hear that because bringing the competition to Haines is so expensive, you guys are cutting back a bit, bringing fewer athletes and staff members. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we're going to look at bringing fewer staff. We've had a fairly large group of staff. I can't say the exact number, but it's been around 50 people with the production crew as well as that. The athlete cuts should remain the same. Top 14 men in ski, top 7 women in skiing, and the top 7 men in snowboarding, along with the top 5 women snowboarders. And those athletes will be considered based upon the results in our previous events in Chamonix, Febbrebrunn, and Andorra.
Okay. And I know looking for sponsorships was something you guys were working on to help support the Haines competition. How has that gone?
I'm not directly involved with that side of the organization being based in North America, so that's being run out of our offices in Verbier. However, I feel that, and what I understand is that the sponsorship search has been successful this year, so that the funding is there for the tour, and it's always a challenge, particularly with action sports. There's a lot of competing events from the Winter X Games to other events around the globe. So there's a lot of choices that brands have to make when it comes to funding events like this. As far as I know, that we're in good shape this year, and so we shouldn't have any problems running the tour.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and, of course, Swatch comes back as our title sponsor again this year. They've been involved now for a few years with us, and we're very happy to have them involved.
Okay. So the Freeride is definitely coming back to Haines coming up in March. But what our tourism director, Leslie Ross, said at a recent Chamber of Commerce meeting is that we have them in 2017, but we're going to have to work to get them back in 2018, I think mainly because of the huge expense that it is to bring people here. So does that sound about right to you?
You know, I think Leslie, I've been fortunate enough to work with Leslie over the last couple of years, and I think she's correct in that. The Haines event is the most expensive event on the tour to run, and that's basically due to logistics and, of course, the distance in getting to Alaska, the travel expenses, and then, of course, the expense when you're on the ground there as far as helicopter access to the venue and running the athletes up there. It's much different than going to the more civilized confines of a resort and working off of chairlifts and being able to run snowcats and some of the other environments that we're used to dealing with. However, it is also the most watched, as far as our live stream events on the world tour, It has a high level of visibility, and it gets a great deal of publicity. So those are all things that work in favor for the Haines event because of the strong global interest in this event. And, of course, the unique terrain in Alaska, it's a dream destination for many people, something that people aspire to. And so it's very appealing from an audience standpoint, from those audience members. So that's definitely a big check in the plus column in regards to Haines.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the live stream there. There were some technical challenges with that last year. A satellite problem, I believe, prevented the live stream of the Haines competition.
Yes,
from
so
being online.
It was broadcast later, and that was a learning experience on our end. Dealing with satellite companies, you don't ever expect their technology to maybe cause issues. And you don't think, well, we need to have two satellites instead of one to run a live stream. But obviously we had some issues, and I know that our technical production crew are going to address that as we go into Haines this year to make sure that doesn't happen again. Obviously, it's a compelling live stream event, and we want to be able to show it in real time rather than show it after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Tom, is there anything else you want to add?
I just want to thank all the borough and the community of Haines for their hospitality when we were there. It's been an excellent experience, and the way the community has opened their arms to the riders and to the crew and to everyone involved with this event, it's been very, very remarkable, and it's been a great experience for us, and it's always wonderful to come to Haines.
All right, Tom Winter is with the Freeride World Tour. The ski and snowboard competition is coming back to Haines for the third year in a row in March of 2017. Tom, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, we'll see you in March.
Cheers.
Okay, so again with me in the studio are Kyle Gray from the Chamber of Commerce and Dan Egolf, local business owner and winter tourism advocate. So, Kyle, what has the Chamber heard from business owners about the impact of the free ride?
Well, we've heard really that it can be a huge impact. I mean, we've heard that business owners are going to be willing to change their hours specifically for this event, and I think that that says a lot in itself, that businesses are looking forward to having extra people in town spending money and shopping at their stores, buying their products.
So, Dan, as a business owner and member of the ski club, what are your thoughts on the impact the free ride has on winter tourism here?
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. The fact that Haines is listed as a world destination along with Verbier, Fieber Braun, Chamonix, and Valnord is absolutely amazing. I never thought when I started the ski shop in 1985 we would be on that list. We get the world's best winter athletes in the ski shop. I had the opportunity to mount skis for Fabio Tudor that ended up winning third in the free ride this year. So a huge highlight and something that can definitely be built upon.
Kyle, do you think events like the free ride are Haines' best bet for increasing winter tourism?
You know, special events, I think, have worked well for Haines. I mean, and it's not just the free ride. I mean, all the events that we have in winter. I mean, if it's the Alcan 200, if it's Dick Hotch. I mean, the special events that can bring people here is just, you know, one of the other avenues that we can do as a community to increase commerce during the winter.
Mm-hmm. And so one thing that we've heard about the free ride is that they've had some trouble financing the competition here because it's so expensive. And the borough of Haines can't really provide the kind of funding that the resorts and the other stops that they take provides. Do you think that there's anything that the Haines borough or the businesses here could be doing more of, or do you think that we've pretty much gone to the extent that we can?
You know, that's a broad question. You know, without really talking to everybody, it would be hard to say. I mean, I know that Leslie has done fundraising campaigns to try and get donations to raise more capital that they need to provide whatever to the Free Ride World Tour. So, I mean, aside from those types of efforts, I mean, I don't, you know, maybe a more robust fundraising campaign, but it seems that people are willing to give money to the tourism department or to a free ride to make it happen.
Dan, it seems like local businesses have been pretty supportive in offering in-kind donations and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it it was my experience that when we put a lot of elbow grease into it, when a big production comes to town, there's just a lot of stuff that has to happen, lots of expediting, people getting skis in. I had a request for 16 Avi beacons and probe poles that we were able to get local ski club people to donate just for the film crew. So, yeah, in-kind elbow grease, I think, helps a bit. We're not the most, economically. Our economy at Haines is somewhat close to the bone, so we'll do what we can. The neat thing is it seems like the athletes consider Haines to be the peak of their careers, and so we still have that venue. So hopefully, as the climate changes, we'll continue to have that draw to the entire world.
Mm-hmm. All right, I think that we have Leslie Rossborough, Tourism Director, on the line. Leslie, are you there?
Good morning, I'm right here.
All right, great. I'm glad you're able to join us, even if it's by phone.
Yes, but with our lovely weather and travel circumstances of Haines, I'm stuck in Juneau, but I'm calling in.
Yep. So tell me about the impact the free ride has had on winter tourism here.
Well, you know, I think it's been huge. And sometimes I'm not sure even our local community realizes how big Haines is to the European community. I wasn't able to hear all of Tom Winter's interview to see what he said on this, but to European skiers, we're like a mecca for heli skiing and backcountry skiing. So I think it's been huge coverage for us on that note. I know just by looking at our hotel numbers and our bed tax numbers that filling two of our largest hotels at that time of the year is a huge impact for us and keeping our restaurants going at that time of the year as well. So I think it's been great worldwide coverage for us, and it's a huge event for a town the size of Haines to put on. Just listening just now to the discussion on financing, it's a lot to ask of our local community to give money to an event like this. There's so many things that our community is already giving to with nonprofits and other items in need, that it's a big thing to go around and ask for funding to support an event that's coming to our town. So there's challenges there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you look at the free ride? Is it something that you hope to, that Haines will figure out a way that it's feasible for the free ride to come here every year, or do you think that's just not practical?
No, for us to host it, it's completely practical. We've proved that we can keep 100 skiers and staff here. And even though there's challenges, I think we're the most challenging stop for the free ride. We're able to provide that access there. As far as the funding goes, I'm not quite sure that's really up to Haines. We're definitely not in a space to ask for state funding for an event like this, and Haines in itself can't give out the amount of funds that free ride normally gets from a ski area to come in. So I think it's more of Haines and myself or the tourism department working closely with the organizers of free ride to help support them in getting larger funding from corporate funding, and help them to sustain the funding they get from larger donors.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to a new public affairs show on KHNS. I'm Emily Files, and we are talking about winter tourism. Borough Tourism Director Leslie Ross is on the phone, and we have Chamber of Commerce Board President Kyle Gray and local business owner Dan Egolf here in the studio. So let's change gears from the free ride to winter tourism more generally. The McDowell Group put together a study on the Haines winter visitor industry in 2015, and it looked at the October 2013 to April 2014 season. And they found that there are an estimated 9,000 winter visitors, but only about 2,000 are pleasure-related. That means most are traveling to Haines for business, visiting friends or family, school-related activities, that kind of thing. but the pleasure visitors are spending way more money than the other ones. They make up about 83% of total visitor spending in the off-season. And out of the 2,000 visitors, the study says the largest numbers are coming here for heliskiing, backcountry skiing, sport fishing, and special events like the Eagle Festival. So, Kyle, when you hear that number, about 2,000 people coming to Haines in the winter as tourists, basically, what do you think of that number?
I think it's great, and I'd like to see it be as big as we can make it. You know, also in that study, I believe it said that tourism in the winter was bringing in about $7 million to Haines, and about 5.4 of that was direct, which came out to be about $600 per guest, which is significant.
Mm-hmm. And so what areas do you think could grow in our winter tourism economy?
Yeah, heliskiing has got to be the first thing that comes to my mind. I think there's a lot of room for growth in that industry. And, you know, hearing from Free Ride World Tour on this that, you know, it's when there's lodges and, you know, the logistics of Haines, you know, how can we make that bigger? How can we make it better? Some things that, and that in combination with perhaps more special events, because mm-hmm. those do seem to work pretty mm-hmm. well for us historically. You know, if we start doing annual things and they stick and they become bigger and better as the years go by, just continues to increase.
And the study notes that there's been some controversy over the largest winter tourism sector, which is heliskiing. There's definitely been some divisiveness lately with the committee that's meeting to review changes to the heliski map. Kyle or Leslie, are the constraints on the heliski companies having a significant impact? Is it limiting growth in that area? Leslie, you want to take that one?
You know, it's hard to speak for our three permit holders, but in my discussions with them and being on taking part in meetings on the MAP committees, I think the biggest constraint they're looking at is safety. And right now we have two major companies that are flying. That would be SEBA and Alaska Heliskiing. But we have a third permit, and as soon as they start building momentum and getting out there, we're going to have three companies competing for that same space. So I think to look at growth, it's important to see that. And when I say that, it's mainly in safety and giving the people that are spending a lot of money to come here the experience they're looking for, which is untracked terrain. So I see those as limiting factors in our industry, the way that we're managing it. There's controversy on all ends of that. And, you know, as we're seeing right now in the MAP committee, where we have to consider wildlife constraints or wildlife considerations and other backcountry users as well.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, is there anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I would echo the safety aspect to that. You know, it's something that I've heard from the business owners a lot, that they feel that the pickup and drop-off zones can be redesigned in a way that makes more sense, that's more conducive to a safe heliskiing environment. And, you know, something that the chamber has been willing to support and write letters of support for the changes in the heliski map, and something that we would like to see move forward.
So that's one of the considerations, one of the reasons why the two companies requested changes to the heliski map.
Correct. Is
that your understanding?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Dan, you have something to add?
Yeah, in terms of safety, I think communication between the companies regarding their avalanche testing and preparedness, and we also have the Haines Avalanche Information Center that's Jeff Moskowitz and Eric Stevens, and we just got a grant for them to put a weather observation station on Rapinski, and communication between the professional companies and the locals in terms of avalanches and snow stability, I think, is a real important thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another potential market for growth that the McDowell study points out is backcountry skiing. So, Dan, tell me about what the ski club is working on to promote more visitors coming to Haines for backcountry ski or cross-country skiing.
Well, the Haines Ski and Hike Club was started back in 65 when a bunch of families wanted to have their kids downhill ski and maybe possibly compete with the people in Juneau that had just built a ski area. We've had three or four ski races over the years. So the last 2 years, we had the Miles Klahini Ski Classic in memory of Dennis Miles, who set a six-mile track at 25 mile for 15 winners. The McDowell report mentions that we've got better snow than Juneau, and there's a lot of people in Juneau that would like to come up and participate in that. So I'd like to thank Leslie for her support and getting the word out to both Whitehorse and to Haines, and we'll be planning to do that again. The ski club is now a 501c3. We bought a wide track setter for skate skiing. We'll be setting 25 mile. We're actually setting further out the road as the weather changes on us. We used to do the golf course, and we used to do Chilkoot Lake. And then we got permission to go across the Little Salmon Marsh out by the farm and set a really nice, probably a six-mile loop out there. And so people can skate and Nordic skiing. The track conditions will be broadcast over KHNS, and you can go to HainesSki.org and find out what the conditions are like. There's also a new group in town, HATS, Haines Alpine Touring Society, and that's Eric Stevens, Graham Kraft with Fairweather Ski Works, and Jeff Moskowitz. You can find out information about what they're doing at the Fairweather Shop in the fairgrounds, but they're working on a hut system, and stats point to that being a really good draw. They want to get a hut up on the Tachinook Ridge at some point and get some funding for that, and it'll be a lot of people coming in. And to be able to ski up there and then have a dry hut to warm up in and ski another day will be a huge draw for Haines.
Yep. So what stage is that project at?
Yeah, still in the planning stage. They've been looking. I mean, these guys are monster alpine skiers. They're the Earn Your Turns people that put skins on and climb up, and they've skied all over the place, and they're looking at spots. They have three or four spots. There's an actual brochure that's out there, and you can check in with the Fairweather Ski Works if you want to be involved. Haines has one of the highest philanthropic volunteer communities in the state, and all these clubs, including the Haines Ski and Hike Club, need more warm bodies. So getting involved would really help to build a year-round economy for Haines. The Avalanche Information Center, you can go to HainesAvalanche.org and post the conditions that you found when you're up on the mountain, whether you heard whomping or you dug a pit and found some hoarfrost, and that'll help make it safer. Mm.
We are going to take a break in just a minute, but Leslie, before we do that, could you just tell me about whether backcountry skiing is something that the Borough Tourism Department is trying to do more marketing? What's your plan for that?
Well, if I'm hearing right, I think we're talking about two different types of backcountry skiing, that there's cross-country skiing and then our backcountry heading up in the hills skiing. And I think on the one that is easier for me to promote and that I've been working closely with the ski club on is our Nordic skiing. And we have a big draw from both Juneau and Whitehorse to if we have well-maintained trails, if we have races and events that utilize those trails, I think we can have a great draw from those two communities. If anyone skied in either Juneau or Whitehorse, they have great Nordic ski area set up, but people that ski love to travel and ski. So I think I've been trying to support the ski club in getting these trails maintained to a point that we can start putting out trail maps and that we can have those maps in both Whitehorse and Juneau. I'm involved both personally and professionally in this, is that I've been involved in the ski club as well as trying to get the grant for the new grooming equipment. And the more that we can do to let people know that we have set trails, I think we definitely will have visitors. I think we can grow our Memorial Ski Race that Dan was referring to, and races draw in people. And one thing that I've been trying to work with a few other groups are is having probably a March time winter festival that celebrates all these winter sports, and events are one of the other things that bring people in. As far as backcountry skiing, getting up in the mountains, or snow machining, snowshoeing up in the mountains and coming down. We have a large group of locals that do this, including myself and my family. And I think that putting all these different forms of backcountry skiing together and promoting that as a package is a way to keep people in Haines longer. So if they're coming here to heli ski, if we have accessible areas for people to backcountry ski, we now have cat skiing. I think all those combined can bring people to Haines just for a ski trip for a couple weeks. So I think there's a lot of opportunities out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take a quick break to allow some of our Pledge Drive folks to hop on the air. The show will be back in about 10 minutes with more discussion on winter tourism. Good morning. It is 10:43. We're back. You're listening to KHNS's new public affairs show, Name to Be Determined. I'm Emily Files, your host this hour. We're talking about winter tourism in Haines with Tourism Director Leslie Ross, Chamber of Commerce President Kyle Gray, and business owner Dan Egolf. And now we have Chloe Goodson in the studio as well. Chloe works at the American Bald Eagle Foundation. Hi, Chloe.
Hello there.
Thanks for coming in. So one of Haines' big winter... Oh, actually, before we get into the questions, important message. Haines School is dismissing early today at 1:30 p.m. And the Haines Open Gym is canceled at the school. So Haines School getting out early today at 1:30. All right, now let's get back to the questions. Mm-hmm. So one of Haines' big winter events is the Eagle Festival, which just happened a few weeks ago. So how did it go?
Oh, it went pretty well. We had 169 people that registered and showed up and such. There were quite a few people that showed up a week or two in advance to avoid all the hubbub, get the perfect shots out there at the Eagle Preserve with cameras. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a really active event, and we had a whole bunch of eagles out there in nice,
yes,
high numbers.
Mm-hmm. So how are the visitor numbers for the festival looking? Are they growing or shrinking?
Definitely shrinking, and we've seen lower numbers for past couple years. And, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Do you have any idea why that might be happening?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
I mean, there were pretty low numbers of eagles. I think maybe it was last year. Do you think maybe word gets out about that and people think it's going to be like that next year too, so they don't come?
Yeah, maybe the last couple years of lower eagle numbers perhaps, but I don't know. Maybe people just aren't keen on visiting anymore. I'm not really sure.
Do you have any ideas, or have you guys talked about what could be done to bolster the number of visitors?
So we have thought of a few different things, like coming up for themes for the festival. This year it was aquatic connections. So that way, there's a different theme, there's different merchandise and such, and it really helps to keep things fresh. And we keep working on a whole bunch of different speakers, new speakers. So this year we had talks on dragonflies, harbor seals, polar bears, and yeah, it helped to bring in quite a few people. We had students from UAS come over, and a lot of the times the diorama room or the lecture hall was completely packed.
Mm-hmm. Great. So, Dan, I was up the highway interviewing eagle photographers, and it seems like there's a good amount of people who come here to take pictures of eagles, but they don't necessarily participate in the festival. And as I understand it, you lead some of those photography trips, right?
Yeah. One thing in marketing, you know, we actually start seeing a chum run up the Klaheeny by Herman Creek when there's still a lot of colors in the cottonwood trees, and that's completely different than what's going on now when everything's pretty much your cool colors and kind of a black and white, other than, you know, a little bit of blood on the eagle's beaks to capture. So starting in October, we get a big group of eagles up there, and it, you know, almost goes through the first of the year. So possibly, you know, just marketing the area longer. A lot of the wildlife photographers don't want to be here during the festival. They may be in a group of 10 or 12 people, and they like to be not having crowds around one eagle to take a picture. But that still could that could be expanded on for sure. The festival, you know, started in 94, and I was on the chamber board at that time, and we had a gentleman, Peter Ecknap, that had done the Cordova Shorebird Festival, and he came in and he said, you know, we need an eagle festival. And it was done to create funding for the chamber and to stimulate the economy in the winter. And we always had about $5,000 to $7,000 left at the end of it for advertising for the next year. And then the foundation took it over, and they've done a great job with it. I think it's just one of those things where we could expand that time. The Gathering of Eagles is really one of a unique experience worldwide, and we should capitalize on it.
Leslie, are you still on the phone with us?
I am here.
Okay, is there anything you want to add about marketing efforts for the Eagle Festival?
Yeah, I would. I'm supposed to meet with Cheryl from the Bald Eagle Foundation after. I was waiting for after the holidays here. I think there's ways that the festival can expand, and I think in past years it was a little bit larger as far as it was spread out around the community more, and there was events happening, speakers happening at the A&B Hall, at the Chilcat Center, concerts going on, and I'd like to see that happen as well in future years, and it does take more community action in that, and not just the Bald Eagle Foundation putting it on. I am setting up an events committee to try to expand on the events that we have, including the Bald Eagle Festival, and to create new events. And I think bringing together the people in our community that are event people and planning, or people that are in this case, wildlife and eagle enthusiasts, to try to grow this event and have it be something where we have hundreds of people coming in for this. So I definitely see room for growth on this. I have watched the numbers decline, and I look forward to working closer with the foundation to see how we can help market this.
That events committee, I'm guessing that's not just for winter events, but year-round?
No, for year-round. Often people look at the tourism department as we should be starting events, and I always have to explain that there's basically two people in the tourism department, myself and Tammy Piper is my only full-time employee. So it's hard for us two people to get events going, and it often we rely on nonprofits, we rely on volunteers. So by bringing together a committee of people that are event planners, I think we could support each other and work on supporting the events that are here already, and then growing new events, which we have plenty of space for in Haines.
Do you have any more details on that if people are interested in participating and when you're planning on getting together?
You know, I told everyone I'd be reaching out and having a meeting after the Bald Eagle Festival and after Thanksgiving, so it'll be happening soon. And if people are interested in being a part of this, they can contact the Visitor Center, and that's it. At 766-2234, and I'm obviously not there right now. I'm sitting in a hotel room in Juneau, but we'll get back to them. Yeah, the more people we have being active on this, the better.
Yeah. Chloe, is there anything else that you want to add about what you've seen in your time here with the Eagle Festival and your perspective on winter tourism in Haines?
Let's see. We did a pretty good job with advertising and changing things up this year, but I definitely agree that more community involvement would be good. at the end of the only one Eagle week, everyone's pretty dead tired from doing a 12, 14 hour days. And and before that, we're doing months, it seems, of preparation for it. So yeah, reaching out to the community and really getting people together for it will be awesome. And that'll be the job of the education and outreach coordinator, especially, which is a job title that is available right now. So if anyone wants to apply for that job, we're accepting applicants until the middle of December.
So that's your position?
That's mine.
And you're going to be leaving in about a month?
Yep. Yeah, I'll be out traveling the world and such shortly.
Well, we're going to miss you.
Aw, thanks.
All right. So I have one last question for my guests here. We're talking about that McDowell group study on the visitor industry during the winter in Haines, and it says that Haines needs to establish a common vision for winter tourism that residents can support and pursue. And my question is, do you think that's happened? And let's start with Kyle Gray.
Well, you know, I think that in some aspects there is a common vision, and maybe in some ways there isn't. And in the ways that there is would be like the Eagle Festival and some of the other special events. Everyone seems to be pretty hard behind it. But what makes me reluctant to totally agree with that is the differing opinions about the heliskiing. It seems that there is continual controversy in that industry. And I think it's the mind of the chamber, and that's clearly the area that has the most potential growth. And that was reflected in the McDowell Group survey, that the heliskiing is the best option for winter tourism growth.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything that you want to let people know about that the chamber is working on in terms of winter tourism? Or are you guys trying to tackle that issue of finding more unity around this industry?
I think what we've done is just supported the business owners and advocated for them in the ways that have been presented to us and or that we feel, you know, is going to get the most accomplished. I mean, like, and it's easy to respond to specific things. So like when there's map changes, for example, that heliskiing company owners want to see changed, it's easy for us to get behind something like that.
Dan, what do you think about the question of whether Haines has found a common vision for winter tourism?
Well, I know we did with some of the things the chamber started in terms of the bike race in the summer and the festival. It seems like the whole community came together. Shop owners and lodges always appreciate more people during the thin times of the year. In terms of the heliski issues, I think those are not insurmountable. I agree with some of the people that live in remote lifestyles that have helicopters that they don't prefer. I think it's a huge map. If you look at the 250,000-acre Haines State Forest, people should be able to come to the table and figure it all out. And I think that will happen at some point in time. I think one of the issues might be the fact that the borough took on managing the heliski industry. We started out with one, and then they quickly expanded into two, and now there's three. And I'd hate to see it happened like happened in Valdez, where they just had way too many things going on. People were actually looking for the Haines area because it was too crowded there. I think the borough kind of set back and decided to manage an industry in terms of its safety and its impact, and then looked at expanding. It may have been a better way to go. But yeah, I think it's there's issues. We have a lot of challenges. Part of it is just climate change and the fact that they're having to move further up the valley to find stable snow. And the other challenge is just the state of Alaska in their ferry system and cutting back, you know, our life's blood ferries in the wintertime. And that builds the economies for thousands of people through up and down southeast Alaska. You don't see them cutting back like the Glenn Highway. It's our mass transit system, and it's important for us to have an economy. Some of the other challenges are funding, and we kind of all come together to pull stuff off with volunteers around Haines, and I think if we get the word out, we'll get some people from outside to help us out as well.
All right, Leslie, real quick, what do you think about that question of whether Haines has found a common vision around winter tourism?
Yeah, I see we're on our last minutes here, but I agree with a lot of what Kyle and Dan both said, in that I think it's easy for our town to get behind special events and more difficult for us to come to common ground on things like heli-skiing. I hate to see, as many times happen in Haines, organizations or groups pitted against each other. So I'd like in my position to work more with bringing together our local backcountry skiers and the heli ski industry and see how we can work together to promote that. While I have the mic really quick, I want to thank Caitlin so much for news and having things. I'm really excited about this program, and I want to give my $50. I'm a sustaining member, but I want to give my $50 for today, and I'll call in later for that. Thank you.
Thanks, Leslie. All right, that's all the time we have. Leslie Ross, Kyle Gray, Dan Egolf, and Chloe Goodson, thank you all so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Emily Files. Thanks so much for joining us this hour for our new public affairs show. We hope you tune in to our next program on December 15th, and by then, I hope we'll have a name. If you have suggestions on that front, email me at khns.org. And with our last few minutes on the air, I want to talk a bit about this new program and our hopes for it. The KHNS News Department is directing the show. Either I or reporter Abby Collins will host. And we're going to aim for a show every other week starting out. They'll normally air on Thursdays, not Tuesdays, at 10 a.m. The next one, as I said, is set for December 15th. The goal is to use this hour-long program to explore Upper Lynn Canal issues more in depth than we normally are able to do in a four-minute news story. But the only way we can make the program successful is with your help. If you have an idea for a topic or someone you think would make a great interview, let us know. You can email me at news@khns.org. And if you get a phone call from me or Abby asking you to be a guest on the show, keep an open mind. It's important for us to include as many voices from the community as we can. If people are willing to share their ideas, we hope that will help others be more willing to do the same. And we're still working on a name for the show. We want your input if you have an idea on that front. You can call me at 766-2020 extension 2 or 983-2853 extension 2. Again, thanks so much for joining us this hour for our new public affairs show. And we hope that you tune in to our next program December 15th. This is KHNS, Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan.